The ways of the tzaddikim. Just for starters, the tachlis of the Sefer Orchei Tzaddikim, he himself, at the end of the Hagdoma, he writes a few lines, a few words, we'll just mention, where after the whole Hagdoma, he paraphrases and gives us the basic idea of what the tachlis of the Sefer is. So let me just read you a few lines. He says, "Zeh Sefer Midos," he says, it's called the Book of Traits, the Book of Midos, teaching a person good behavior. That's what Orchei Tzaddikim, the ways of tzaddikim, basically means. It's not just for tzaddikim. We all should strive to be tzaddikim. It says the Book of Midos is the Book of Traits. Nichtav v'nichtam b'tabas ha-chochma. He says, was written and sealed, he says, with a seal of wisdom, in order, lilmoid lodon das, in order to teach man knowledge. He says, liyoy sefer zeh b'yedei kolish l'klei umnis. He says, in order, he says, that this sefer should be a tool. It should be a tool for each person to be able to correct his bad traits. In the same way that a craftsman, an artisan, needs tools in order to fashion, in order to mold, in order to build what he has to build. Character has to be built. You have to build character. And in order to build character, you need tools. So the way the Chovis Alvavis, I'm saying, is still used from last year. So the Orchei Tzaddikim says, Chovis Alvavis is also a Zoy. So the Orchei Tzaddikim says, the Sefer Midos, it should be, he says, a clay umnus. It should be a tool in the hand, l'saken mitoche midoisov. To be able to be misaken his traits, umaisov, he says, and his deeds. That is basically the tachlis of the Sefer. And in fact, you know, the Sefer, which is, if you open up the Sefer, usually every Sefer, you open up and you see the name of the Mechaber, who the author is. The identity of the Orchei Tzaddikim is clouded or shrouded in mystery. So we are not going to reveal the secret. I think the only one that knows is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, actually, who the author was. But I can tell you that much, where there is indication that the Orchei Tzaddikim basically lived around the time of the Rishonim. So we're going back many, many centuries, going back 600-700 years. As a matter of fact, the first copy of the Chovis Alvavis was printed in Prague in 1591. Alright? That was the first printing, that it was printed in Prague in 1591. And it become a... The Orchei Tzaddikim again. So if you say, just correct me again. We'll get it right. The Orchei Tzaddikim was printed, yeah, in 1591. And in fact, this has become really a handbook, because one of the particular milas of the Orchei Tzaddikim is, unlike Chovis Alvavis, in the sense is that it was written in a Lashon that's kemat dover hashovel l'chol nefesh, in complete contrast to the difficulty of learning Chovis Alvavis, which you know is difficult. Well, one of the reasons also Chovis Alvavis is, we can call it written in so-called difficult Lashon Kodesh, is because, remember, the Chovis Alvavis is written in Arabic, and was translated. Well, you could have translated in an easier way too. Yet, l'maisa, it is a difficult, very difficult limud, which there are many, many perushim, because of the ambiguity of many of the phrases, there are many kavonas read into the meaning of the Chovis Alvavis. Whereas the Orchei Tzaddikim, on the other hand, is written quite in a Lashon Kal, relatively speaking, which we can pick up, you know, the basic kavona. Even what we learned, the Shari Tshuva Ben Yoyne, you know, a few years back, is also not so easy to learn. Some of the phrases are quite easy, and yet some of the areas need iyun, it needs to be studied, and the Peirushim have been written on the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yoyne as well. Orchei Tzaddikim, in a certain sense, is a bit easier than all that, and therefore made it quite popular. Let me tell you this, that the Orchei Tzaddikim, how many copies have been printed, no one knows, but I can tell you this much, there are at least 100 different editions. In other words, each edition could have been thousands of copies. In different areas, hundreds of editions, different editions have been printed, and that of course is another just indication of how popular the Sefer was, and it was considered to be a foundation of a Torah Hamusar. As we mentioned, the author, obviously the Mechaber, he chose to remain anonymous, and therefore did not mention his name in the Sefer. Many attempts by various scholars throughout the years in order to try to figure out, and some have come up with various names. And as time went along, these proofs, so-called proofs, have been rejected as well. And it turns out that all of these suggestions are no more than suggestions and hypotheses, hashoras bi'alma, suppositions, but no factual proof. And it turns out, therefore, that the mechaber of the sefer still remains to be anonymous. Just to give you an example, that in the title page of the Sefer Orchis Tzadikim, in addition in Pulnoy, was written in Pulnoy in 1802, for example, in that particular edition. So there, it was suggested that the Sefer was written by the Rebbe of the Rimigash. Now, if that would be true, the Rebbe of the Rimigash, to realize Rimigash was before the Rambam. The Rebbe of the Rimigash, himself was before the Rambam. I'll give you an idea of what we're talking about. The Rambam was nostalgic, passed away in 1204. So the Rimigash, if he was a Rebbe, right? Rimigash, as a matter of fact, wasn't actually a Rebbe of the Rambam. Rimigash himself was a Rebbe of the Rambam's father. The Rambam was very young when he met Rimigash, Rabbi Yosef Migash, who was, of course, from the great Goyim of Sfard in Spain. And Rimigash himself was Nifter in 1141. So the Aruch HaTzadikim was the Rebbe of the Rimigash. So imagine how early that would go. And by the way, and that would tell you, by the way, how great he was. You have to realize, a Rebbe of the Rimigash, because if he was a Rebbe of the Rimigash, the Aruch HaTzadikim, well, let me just give an example. Who else was the Rebbe? Who was, in fact, the Rebbe? Was the Rif. The Rav Alphys, the Rif. The Rif, the codifier of the halacha, bringing down all the halachas, leaving out the shakalataryas of the Gemara, just writing down the basic maskonis, the conclusions of every area, every sugya, leaving out, you know, the pilpul and the discussions, coming down to halacha lamaisa. The Rif, great Rav Alphys, was considered the greatest by all, and the Rimigash was a Talmud of the Rif, and he learned by the Rif for about 14 years in Spain. He was the Talmud of the Rif. He learned there for 14 years. And the Rif saw in him that he is going to be his Yerush, which means that one day he will be his Mamal HaMalkim, the Rimigash, which goes so far, he writes, and I want you to hear this, the Rif writes on the Rimigash, he writes on him and is godless, he writes, Shafila b'doiroi shel Moshe Rabbeinu lo nimtze chocham v'noven kemoisoi. This is a Rishonim writing. This is not like today that you write titles. And this is the Rif himself. Not only was a Maveman godless, himself was the greatest of all time, the Rif. And the Rif writes on the Rimigash that Afila B'doirish El Moshe Rabbeinu, even a Moshe Rabbeinu generation, Leinimtze Chochem Adobin Kamoisoi. And it goes on so far that the Rif himself had a son, who was a Ben Chochem, was a Godel. And yet, the Rif left a tzavah that his Mamal HaMalkim should not be a son. The Rimigash should be the Mamal HaMalkim. To take over, to take the yeshiva, and to so on. So, of course, certainly the Rimigash himself is one of the greatest Gedolei HaDor. And by the way, when the Rimigash was Nifter, the great Paitan, the great poet, you know, Reb Yehuda HaLevi, you know, the greatest poet of all time, Shirim of Reb Yehuda HaLevi, many of the kinnis written by Reb Yehuda HaLevi, as we know, many of the piyutim written by Reb Yehuda HaLevi. He wrote a whole piyut regarding the patira, he says, of the Rimigash. He mentions, he says, that as long as the Rimigash was alive, he writes, Haluchos lo nishtabru. The luchas were broken. He says, the Rimigash was around. He said, we have the luchas. We have the luchas. Some of the shvachim that Reb Yehuda HaLevi writes on the Rimigash. And, in fact, the Rambam himself, we mentioned Rambam's father, Rav Maimon, was the Talmud of the Rimigash, and as a result, the Rambam got to know, by the way, he was very young, it's either he was between 6 and 8 years old, there's different versions, but young enough. And the Rambam writes, as far as he's concerned, his opinion, he says, the Rimigash was the greatest godel of all time. The Rambam writes that. And he says, Ad kedei kach, he writes in a letter, that when he thinks about the godless Torah of the Rimigash, he says, I get a headache, Rambam writes. I get a headache, Rambam says, I get a headache, thinking of the godless. Another place he writes, Azoi, Kilev ho isha hu, b'talmud. says the chokhma that the Rima Gash has in Talmud, he says, mavis, it's frightening. Rambam writes, mavis lemishi istakel bedvara v'oymek sichloi be'iun, ashe kemat nemerboy ukemoyu lehoye lefonov. Loshna Rambam. Again, Rambam doesn't throw himself around, but you say shir in Rambam, you know? Say shir in everything, but he writes shvachim also. You say a shir, every word there is meduyik. So this is, as we say, a very, very fascinating thing. This is about the Rima Gash. Just want to mention to you that the Chidah writes in a sefer. Remember, the Chidah wrote, like we say, like something like close to 100 Sfarim. So there's another sefer. I don't think we ever mentioned that particular sefer. The sefer called Chadrei Boten from the Chidah. Chadrei Boten. You know, the inner rooms, you know, which are hidden. Chadrei Boten in the system. So he writes that when the Rambam was 8 years old, his father, Chidah writes 8, others write 6. But so when Rambam was young, he had the opportunity to meet the Rima Gash, and the Chidah writes, Noshak, he kissed Yedei HaRima Gash Koidim Petiroso. The Rambam at this young age, age 8, he kissed the hands of the Rima Gash before the Rima Gash was Nifter, V'yomar! And the Rambam said after that, Shloi Zocho Lamashi Zocho, if I ever amounted to anything in my life, Ela Ba'oise Nishike Shenoshkoi Uborchoi, and he got a brocha from the Rima Gash. Chidah writes this about the Rambam. Why are we saying all this? That if in case the Orcha Sadikim was the Rebbe of the Rima Gash, well, we know what the Rima Gash was, that would give us a shtickle idea who the Orcha Sadikim was. However, and by the way, what was the reason to think that the Orcha Sadikim was a Rebbe of the Rima Gash? The reason is because the Sefer Seder HaDoiris, well-known Sefer called Seder HaDoiris, so he says the Orcha Sadikim also has another name. It's called Sefer HaMidois. And the Rambam, in his Pirish, HaMishnayis, HaMasech Tisovis, and Perek Dalet, brings down Sefer HaMidois, and the Seder HaDoiris assumes that the Sefer HaMidois, the Rambam is referring to, is to the Sefer Orcha Sadikim. This was the thing. Okay, this was written in the edition of the Orcha Sadikim, you know, did some research on it. This, I said, printed in 1802. Now, interesting thing is that there is, of course, much later editions. So in Varsha, in Warsaw, an edition in Warsaw, printed in 1922, right, they bring down the conclusion of the 1802 edition. It's a totally mistake. The Rima Gash could not have been a Talmud of the Orcha Sadikim. Orcha Sadikim, as early as he might be, he was not that early. As a matter of fact, all he says is, you have to do is look through the Orcha Sadikim and see who does he bring. Well, there's one of the shiurim in the Orcha Sadikim is Shar HaTorah. He has a whole section Shar HaTorah, and there he brings Gedolei Yisrael that lived many generations after the Rima Gash. So certainly the Orcha Sadikim himself couldn't have been a Rebbe of the Rima Gash. And interesting is that this is Nechemet, of course, which is encyclopedic work done many, many years before the computer age. He was an encyclopedia himself. Many, many halokim on the Svardish Gedolim. Sefer Nechemet, he says that that is not true. He says it's not true. The Sefer HaMidos that the Rambam was referring to was not the Orcha Sadikim. But in one of the rais, he says also, he says, if you see what the Rambam brings from the Sefer HaMidos, it's not written in Orcha Sadikim. It's not to be found at all. So obviously, yeah. So there's many different forms called Sefer HaMidos. Orcha Sadikim also was called Sefer HaMidos, but that does not mean that, in fact, that was what the Rambam was referring to. So for now, we're going to leave that and just point out this little hakdama regarding the Sefer Orcha Sadikim. So what we're going to do is here, we're going to start a little bit with the hakdama, and we'll see how we're going to continue on, because the hakdama itself is a limud sholin in its own right. So let's start with the hakdama you have here in the Orcha Sadikim. Chazim starts with the following posik in the Hagdama, in the introduction. Posik in Kehelis. Kehelis says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Soiv Dover Hakar Nishma. The end of everything is as Elokim Yiroh. Right? In other words, after all having been heard, what is the end? Soiv Dover Hakar Nishma. At the end of everything hath to be heard, Shlomo HaMelech says, as Elokim Yiroh. You have to fear Hashem, you have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's mitzvos of Shemoyer, and you keep his mitzvahs, and he says, Kizek kol odom, because this is the entire person. That's what the entire person is about, says the Orcha Sadikim. Zeha posik, of course, this posik that I just quoted, is Omrei Shloim HaMelech, This pasuk was said by Shlomo HaMelech, and the fact that it was said by Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest person, so it's not like some frum person, you know, some frumi out there is talking about Yerushalayim. Shlomo HaMelech, who was the Chacham, he is speaking from the vantage point of being the wisest man. Right? Shlomo HaMelech, of course, he was the wisest of all people. The Gemara Megillah tells us that he was wiser and he was greater than all people, and he reigned over the upper worlds and on the lower worlds. In other words, the celestial world, which is the upper worlds, and also the world down here, which is referred to as the terrestrial world, the lower world as well. Shlomo HaMelech, after experiencing and knowing what's going on in the upper worlds, and of course observing what's doing on this world, Shlomo HaMelech, after he sees all of different deeds, right, and he proved everything, and he also taught the world so many different disciplines of wisdom. After all the wisdom, after all the deeds, after everything that he observed in the world, so many different things that people are involved in, what does he sign off with? Chosam kol devora viomar. After all is said, he seals his words and he says, Soif shel kol dover. He says, the end of all things is what? Huyiris Hashem. It's the Tefira Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is what it's all about. This is the conclusion posik in Kehelis, but it's also the opening posik, as he says, Imishle. Again, Shlomo HaMelech is the one, Proverbs, right, is the one who authored Mishle. And Shlomo HaMelech says there, in the first chapter, the first capital, Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. He says, Yiras Hashem even is before knowledge. You know, the beginning of knowledge. What's the beginning of knowledge? The beginning of knowledge is before you embark, and we'll soon see about it a little bit later in the sheet. Before you embark on knowledge, what's the introduction to knowledge? Introduction to knowledge, which precedes even knowledge, any type of das, that's Yiras Hashem. And Vesiyeh, and he concludes Mishle with Esh Yischayel, as we know. There he says, Isho Yiras Hashem Hitis Halo. Of course, a God-fearing woman, she shall be praised. And this is, of course, as we know, that this is a moshel, a metaphor for Torah. Yisho Yiras Hashem Hitis Halo. And he says, the truth is, no one is more qualified than to promote Yerushalayim, he says, in Shlomo HaMelech. Because had come somebody else and told you about Yerushalayim, he says, Ve'ilu Adam Ocha, had it been another person, said, had it been another person, would have come to warn people, and tried to teach people Yerushalayim, lo hoyu devarav mukubalim al oilam. Someone else who might try to say it, he would not be so readily accepted, because they would say, you know why? They would say, you know, avur she'ein lo inyan acher v'hu ponui. You know, this person, you know, who's promoting Yerushalayim, he doesn't have anything better to do, maybe. So he's Yerushalayim. You know, his life is bechlal is limited. His knowledge in worldly affairs is limited. He's a limited person. So you know what? It's time for Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is something that's his goal. That's his thing. That's his thing. He doesn't have much better to do or anything else. Lekach mazer al Yerushalayim. But el Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, who also show you osher mikol odom, so everything in this world that a person could avail himself, he had that too. So in a certain sense, he tasted it all. He had it all. He was the osher mikol odom. He was wealthier than everyone. Kedachsiv, the Pasuk says in Malachim, that Vayitein HaMelech is HaKesev Yerushalayim Kavonim. You know, when you have to build a building, some people donate bricks. He was able to give silver like anybody, like bricks. He had all the silver in the world that you needed. Vayitein HaMelech is HaKesev Yerushalayim Kavonim. In addition to being Oshir Mikol Odom, Voyachochom Mikoil, he was also wiser than everybody else, and Vamelech. One can say, one is already a king, so what can be Choshirim or Choshirim? Heis Madrege, to rise up to the stature of being a Melech. Eshom HaMelech, right? In spite of being a king, everything, no, that's nothing. Yerushalayim, that's what it is all about. It's not about being a king, it's not about being an Osher, it's not about being all the things that Eshom HaMelech had on the side. He said, that's secondary. The main thing, he says, the tachlis of Kol Odom Yerushalayim. Kedachsiv, as we see Shlomo HaMelech being Chochom Mikol Odom, Kedachsiv, it says, Vayechka Mikol Odom. The Pasuk says that Shlomo HaMelech was wiser than all men. Once mentioned many times, or a long time ago, that where the Medrash tells us, Vayechka Mikol Odom, Shlomo HaMelech was wiser than all men. Wherever it says Kol is Lerabu, it comes to add something. So there's a Medrash that says, Vayechka Mikol Odom, Shlomo HaMelech was wiser than all men. What's all men? Afilu Min HaShoytim. What's the chiddush? Lamelech was wiser even than Shaitim. But the pshat is like this. It's no chiddush. Lamelech was wiser than Shaitim. The problem with the Shaitim is he thinks that he's wiser than a wise man. Others know that he's a Shaitim, but the Shaitim himself thinks that he's a gresta chuchim. But Shlomo Melech was such a chuchim that even the Shaitim was moida that Shlomo is smarter than him. Which means that even the Shaitim had to admit that Shlomo Melech is wiser than him. That's Vayechka Mikolodim. And Agaburche, Mamish, the idea that the Orchid Sadikim here is telling us that Shlomo Melech was the most qualified, because really, really he knew about everything and he really had everything, and so he was able to evaluate all the materialism in the world, where it stands, and he comes to the conclusion, says, listen, no, it's not about this, it's not about that, it's about Yerushalayim. You know, Avraham Avinu had, of course, we have this with Parsha, we had Eliezer and Damascus Eliezer. Why is he called Damascus Eliezer? Because he came from Damascus, one pshat. But then Chazal tells Damascus, he showed Doilu Mashke Meteiris Rabbi Lacherim. He was like the Shliach, he was like Avraham Avinu Shliach. Avraham Avinu would send out Eliezer, and Eliezer would continue the mission of Avraham Avinu to teach the world the concept of Agdus Abayir, there's one Rabbeinu Shleim in the world. So he was Doilu Mashke, and that is whatever he received from Avraham Avinu. He went further and he taught it. Shoye Doilu Mashke. So the Sefer Yetiv Lev, the Zayid of the Satmar Ruf, he says, it seems that Eliezer was the one who went out, you know, was sent out all around. Shoye Doilu Mashke Mitoch Rabbi Lacherim. He says, because even though Avraham Avinu was much greater than Eliezer, that people wouldn't accept Eliezer, you know, as an old-fashioned Avraham Avinu was Dovik Bashem, person, you know, who's completely gives of his life to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hey, old-fashioned Avraham Avinu, he says, he's going to tell us about religions. Yeah, for him religion is a good thing. Eliezer was an Eved Kanani. So he basically comes from a totally different background, being an Eved Kanani, and he teaches us about what it means to be a Yerushalayim. Eliezer was a Shaykhis with the Gashmizig world. Eliezer is an Eved Kanani. From him, people, he tasted it all. He's part of the regular world. Not Avraham Avinu, the old-fashioned person, maybe who sits in his Dalaramas over there, Avraham Avinu. Think of Avraham Avinu. He said, Eliezer, one of us. Oh, and he still comes to the conclusion, he understands what it means to be Yerushalayim, understands what it means to believe in Hashem. His words would be more received. In that sense, that's what the Orchid Tzadikim says, receiving it from a Shlomo HaMelech, who really knows because he tasted it all, and he comes to the conclusion, Loi no aloimer. Shlomo HaMelech is the one who really is qualified to say, Havel Havolim Hakel Ovel. It's all vanity. It's all Narishkeiten. Vein Lasa Kelim Yerushalayim. And therefore a person should occupy himself with things, everything that will bring to more Yerushalayim. That should be the avodah of a person. B'chei Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem. And Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Shoyu Roish L'Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu was the chief of all of the Nevi'im. Omar, he says, V'ato Yisroel Mo Hashem Alekecho Shoyel Mimach. He says, Klal Yisroel, what do you think Hashem wants from you? So it could be a list of a million things. And basically he points out, Ki'im L'Yiros Hashem Alekecho. Moshe Rabbeinu said, because Baruch Hu wants you, is to fear Hashem, is to have Yerushalayim. V'chein Dovid HaMelech Olav HaSholem Omar, Reish Yis Chochma, Yiras Hashem. What she means to say is, the beginning of Chochmah again is Yerushalayim. We'll see more about that soon. Just interesting thing, it says, Vata Yisrael Mo Hashem Alekecho Shoyel Mimach. What does Kodesh Baruch Hu want from you? Ki'im L'Yiro. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants Yerushalayim. Interesting thing is that the Gemara tells us, based upon the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says, Yiras Hashem Hi Oysoroi. Beginning of the Pasuk says, V'hoyo Emunas Itecho Choysin Yeshuas Chochmah Zavadas, Yiras Hashem Hi Oysoroi. Gemara says, Ein loy la Kodesh Baruch Hu bo itzorei. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu keep in his treasure houses? Eli Yerushalayim. Now it seems that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he didn't have Yerushalayim. So Kodesh Baruch Hu puts all that Yerushalayim where he saves it. It's so choshev. That's what it seems. Ein la Kodesh Baruch Hu bo itzorei. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu keep in his oitzer? Pasuk says, Yiras Hashem hi oitzorei. Yiras Hashem is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's oitzer. Ein la Kodesh Baruch Hu bo itzorei Eli Yerushalayim. What does that mean? So Bishol Brach, Rav and Kasho, so he points out in the Sefer Mishmeres Alozer, so he says as follows. He says, the truth, the Pasuk says, Vata Yisroel Moshe Melekecho Shoyel Mimach. Shoyel means the Kodesh Baruch Hu requests from you. Also Mevakesh. Also is another word. Mevakesh also means Kodesh Baruch Hu requests. Bikush, Bakoshe, Shoyel. Right? Different type of Shoyel is that you could have used here in the Pasuk. He points out as follows. You know, Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with the person, Mide Keneged Mide. Same way that we deal with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu pays in kind. Measure for measure. Mida can't give me that. Remember many years ago we had here Bashil Ashu, this well-known Magid, Rabbi Yankel Galinsky, short fella.
very famous Maggid, it goes around all over the place, even Monroe, Abdom Galos, Alit Vishabal Musiv, Zazong Adroshid, Yanka Galinsky, there's some opposition there too, but why is the guy to his? Yanka Galinsky, he started out once here by Shilashudas, he started to say, we're living in a world, he said in Yiddish, he said, we're living in a world, he said, that all the middas, there's no middas, it's Efkeres. All the middas is bottle geworden, except one middah. Middah connected middah, he says, it's not bottle, he says. Because Baruch Hu, he said, listen, be careful of what you do, he says. Because middah connected middah, that didn't become, but all the other middas became bottle. There's no middas in the world. No middas anymore. However, middah connected middah, he said, that is something that did not become bottle. So Baruch Hu, because he conducts himself, middah connected middah, measure for measure. Comes out many times that a person finds himself in an area where it's a scary area. He's open to the elements. He could be robbed. Especially olden days, people used to travel on roads through forests. We know there used to be bandits, you know, there used to be, we're ambushing, waiting to, many times, or sometimes a person goes in a forest and there are wild animals roaming. This was just the nature of the situation. In each generation, different things that people are afraid of. So many times a person needs that others should fear him. Either other people, they should not attack him. Or maybe animals, if the case is animals that he's worried about, that animals should fear him, shouldn't attack him. The Sefer Mishmeres Eloza says, Kadosh Baruch Hu does like this, Midah Kenegid Midah, Kadosh Baruch Hu like this. You know what? All the Yiras Shemayim you had for me, all the fear you had for me, I'll pay it back to you. There'll come a time when you need that others should fear you. So how much, if you had 20 pounds, you gave me 20 pounds of Yiras Shemayim, I'm going to pay it back to you. That comes a time of need, that you need, either animals should fear you, other people should fear you. Thomas, in business, you have people, you know, who are very aggressive. You want them to, yeah. You're afraid of them. You like to be the opposite. They'd be afraid of you. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? The measure of Yiras Shemayim that you had for me, I'm going to pay it back. That's what it means, that Kadosh Baruch Hu keeps it in the Oitzer. He keeps it in the treasure house. In other words, Yiras Shemayim that you get to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he puts it away, saves it, they give it back to you. He says, that's the Peshat in the Pasuk. It doesn't say, La'ato Yisroel Moshem Lekecho Mevakesh Shoyel. Show means he borrows it from you. Yiras Shemayim that you give him, he borrows it. He'll give you back the Yira. Comes a time you need Yira. People should fear you. Kadosh Baruch Hu will give it back to you. According to Hamash Yiras Shemayim you gave Hashem, Hashem will give it back to you. So Shoyel, he borrows it. Not Mevakesh Shoyel. But Davke, you lose that lotion from borrowing it. So let's see now further, Rabbi Isai, a little bit. Further on he goes. Do another paragraph. And he says further, Umipnei, he says, Sho'onu Royim Es Ha'odom. Because he says, we view man, Mivchar Beruye Ha'boire Be'oilam Atachten. Man is the choicest of all creations. So Kadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, this is a vast creation. And Kadosh Baruch Hu created literally millions of species. Millions of species, from the animal world, to the bird world, to the world of insects, and so on and so forth. So of all of creation, man is the choicest. Man is the mivchar bruei habayre, he says, ba'olam atachton, in this world. He says, because kihu misukin, because man was fashioned, right? Betzelem elikim ubitzurasoi. Because man was fashioned in the image of Hashem and in the form of Hashem. And therefore, v'noa b'malachtoi mikol habruim, also man is the most sophisticatedly formed. Of all the different animals and all the different creations, man is the most presentable, man is the most noah. Man is the prize workmanship, as it were, right? From everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu created, from all the creatures. A man, in fact, has and he possesses a wise neshama, a neshama which inspires him with chokhmah. Ham is boinenes, neshama apprises us, right? Soit hol yoinim atachtoinim. With the neshama is capable, it's connected with the upper world because that's what comes from into the world down here. So mizeh yivoda. So he says, from that, man can realize shehu inyan kol hakavonos mizeh olam. Of all the purposes, he's the main purpose. Hashem could have had different reasons, yeah? No. The main purpose of all of creation, is, he is the inyan kol hakavonos mizeh olam. Any kavona that Hashem would have had creating the world, he is it. Man is the inyan of all the kavonis. The choma shenivra boilam azeh. Listen what he says. And everything that was created, he says, in this world, everything. So now, you have a world, right? With all these different vilde chayas here, they were created utzayr chodam. Now you may not realize what the tachlis is all the time, but the choma shenivra boilam azeh hakoy litzorchoy. Everything in this world was created for the sake of man.
And as a matter of fact, when he said that everything was created for the sake of man, the truth is, you know, I just want to quote you, in Medrash Kehelis, let's stop for a moment, just give you two lines. The Medrash says in Kehelis, in Perek Zayin, it says, Re'eh yes kol maso likim, see everything that Hashem created, look at Hashem's handiwork. Listen to the words of the Medrash. Bisho shebora HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adam Rishon. Medrash in Kehelis, Chazal. Because Baruch Hu created Adam Rishon. Hashem created first man, Notloi, because Baruch Hu took him. Because Baruch Hu took Adam Rishon, Ve'hichziroi al kol ilone Gan Eden. And he gave him a tour of all the beautiful trees, all the different kind of trees in Gan Eden. All the different delicacies, all the different types of fruit. And he showed him all the ilonis. Om Aloi. Because Baruch Hu said Adam Rishon. Re'ei Masai Kamenoim. Look how beautiful here that I've created. Hashem shows Adam. Look, I'm giving you a tour. Give me a tour of everything I've created. Look how beautiful my things are. Umishibachemem. How praiseworthy they are. I want you to know. V'chol ma shibarosi bishvil chobarosi. So say Chazal. Hashem told Adam Rishon, whatever I created is for you. So one thing I ask from you. Tein datcho. Pay attention. Shloi tekalkil v'tachle v'lomi. You don't destroy my world. That's what it's a kujit. Shibarcha Rabbi said, create a beautiful world. Man destroys it. So whatever you see in the world, with Hashem created a beautiful world. Tremendous. But man who is given power, man who is given wisdom, man who is given intelligence, abused that for his own power, and he destroys the world. And that was precisely what Hashem warned all the Mauritians, said, listen, look at the beautiful world I created. It's all for you. It's all for you. Make sure that in fact, that you don't destroy it. So, goes on Yochai Tzadikim, and he says, and therefore, being that man is the main purpose, being that in fact that man in fact is the main purpose, Bishvil Zeh Nitna Liyodom Torah Semes, because Baruch Hu in fact gave man the Torah, because Baruch Hu gave man the Torah Semes LeHoyroisay Haderach HaYishor, because Baruch Hu goes ahead and he gives man the Torah to teach him right the just way, Ki Ho Odom Hu Chaviv Moed Lifnei Hashem, because man of course is Chaviv Moed before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to point out how far is man beloved by Hashem? You know to what extent? Because we see Shamalochim Mishamshim Letzorche Hodo Matzadik. Because if man is worthy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends angels, send Malochim to serve the needs of man. Malochim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Malochim from the upper worlds. That shows how Chaviv, shows how precious man is in the eyes of Hashem. Hashem sent Malochim. As you know, of course, from Avraham Avinu, even though he's not pointing out where, we can realize it. Of course, we find in Parshas Vayero, right? Let's use this one example. Pasuk says Avraham Avinu, right after the Bris Milah, the third day, Vayar, he sees Shloisha Anoshim. Who are the Shloisha Anoshim? Right? So Rashi tells us there were really three Malochim. What were the three Malochim? What did they come for? They came to serve man. What did they come to serve man? Echod. One malach came, Levasare Sora. He came to give Sora Imenu the Besura Toiva that she's going to have a child, even though she was so advanced in age. That was one malach. What's the other malach? Lahapach Yisadoim, to set the world straight. And the third one was Larapa Yisus Avrom, to bring refuah for Avrom Avinu. So here we have the situation. Here we have the situation where malachim, Kumashudanim Avrom Avinu. V'chein, he says Yitzchak. The same thing with Yitzchak also. Where's Yitzchak? Well, in Parshas Toldos. Let's remember. Parshas Toldos, we are told, of course, with the whole issue with Yaakov Avinu and Esav, each one vying for the brachos of Yitzchak Avinu. Torah starts out with a shtick like Doma there. Vahi, the Torah says, Kizokin Yitzchak, as Yitzchak became older, it says, V'techayeno Einov Merois, his eyes dimmed from seeing. His eyes dimmed. What happened? Well, you say he got old, so his eyes dimmed. Rashi says something else. Rashi says, Kishenekan al Gabin Mizbeach. Rashi tells us, goes back into history. When Yitzchak Avinu was bound on the Mizbeach to be shechted by his father, originally. I'm quoting Rashi. And his father wanted to shecht him. You know what happened? The heavens opened up, says Rashi. Ve'ro'u malachei ashor. Malachim saw. And they thought that Avraham Avinu was going to have to go through with it. They thought that Avraham Avinu is going to shecht Yitzchak. The Malachim started to cry. Ve'hoyu boichim. Ve'yardu dimoiseim. So the tears of the Malachim came down. Ve'nofla lein. They fell into his eyes. Ve'lefichach kohu einov. Okay.
That's one example. There's more. He's saying also by the end of the Keder, because Baruch Hu sends a Malach who says, Al Tishlach Yodcho Lanar. Right, Al Tishlach Yodcho Lanar. So again, so we see indications where Kodesh Baruch Hu sends Malachim from Shemaim to serve mankind. That shows you how great man is and how choshev man is. Going further, V'Yakov Emer Yaakov says, HaMalach HaGoyel Oisi Mikol Ro. HaMalach HaGoyel. Malach says, Tachin says, that the Malach, right, that the Malach who redeemed me from everything that was bad, Yivarech HaSanorim, that he should also be the source of blessing, he says, to my children, to my youth, to my young ones, as he goes on to point out. We find furthermore, we find the Pasuk of Ksiv, the Pasuk in Hosea, Vayoser el Malach Vayuchal. Pasuk tells us that in fact, we find that Yaakovino, that he strove with the Malach and he prevailed. In other words, we know that he became the star. Yaakovino, we know that he had the encounter with the Malach and he prevailed. He prevailed over him. He became the star over the Malach. And then Daniel, again, just example after example, we find Malachim being involved to aid mankind. Daniel Omar, Daniel in the lion's den. Okay, everybody knows Daniel, the grave of Arayas. How was he saved? Who was the shliach? When Kodesh Baruch Hu, of course, saved him. Kodesh Baruch Hu saved him. Well, what was the method? What was the method? What was the Pasuk say? Pasuk said, Daniel Omar, right? So Daniel says, Eloki. He says, my God, my Rabbeinu Shloilam. Shalach Malachi. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, sent his Malachim. Uzgar Pumar Yevoso, and he locked up the mouths of the lion. Uzgar Pumar Yevoso, Veloi Chabluni, and he did not hurt me. Chabluni, Choyvul me, right? They were not Choyvul me. So here again the Malach. As we find. Void Motzinu. Shebo Malach Lezis, the Tzadikim, we find again where Malachim came to help the Tzadikim, the righteous people. The Pasuk says the Malachim can go on and on. Pasuk says, Vihibalai Lahahu. We know that when Melech Ashur, the Assyrian king, he came right to siege Yerushalayim. He was already by the wall of Yerushalayim with all the thousands of soldiers that he had, and it seemed that he's just a matter of time. During the night, they went to sleep, ready in the morning to break down the walls of Yerushalayim. What could Baruch Hu do? What could Baruch Hu do? He killed out all of the soldiers of Melech Ashur. How? It was the Malach. Vayhi b'layla hu v'yetzei Malach Hashem v'yach b'machne Ashur. He came and he smote and he killed and he destroyed, right, in the camp of Ashur. Rabbim Kaila says many other examples, he says. Ukvar yadanu. And by the way, remember we pointed out from the Kishas Levi. It says originally the Malachim, before they recognized Avraham Avinu, they came. Avraham Avinu, you know, depends. Man can rise very, but man can also go very low. Man can be higher than high, man can be lower than low. Man can be lower than an animal also. It can be higher than Malachim, but it can be lower than even than animals. Man has the potential of rising the highest and falling the lowest. Malachim said, from a view, they yet didn't know who he was. He's a man, well, we're angels. You know what the Pasuk says? Shloisha Anoshim Nitzovim Olav. Shloisha Nitzovim Olav. Three people, I mean the Malachim, they were standing above him. That's what it appeared like. Later on, after seeing the Mesiras Nefesh of Avraham Avinu, third day of his bris, and seeing the Achnosas Orchim, witnessing Avraham Avinu, how he was mishamish them and everything, what does it say later? Behu oimed aleihem. He was now above them. Man rose to be higher even than the Malachim. It was Shom Kebelze, Kishas Levi. Makes this Nakude. Vayadanu, he says, Ki yeshodam sheshlo yitzren al shar b'nei yodam. He says, you know, that one man can be much more superior than other people, right? One man can be superior than many. There could be a person who is so great that he can count for many, many. He outweighs many. Even though basically they are all of similar form, same origin. Because he elevated his neshama. His avodas Hashem is Yerushalayim. He said, it's because, he says, his neshama rose up. And he was able to scale and to reach higher madregas, right, than the other person. What's the difference between the two? The tzaddik was able to have his wisdom control his taiva, control his desires. It was his head, right, who ruled over his heart, over his desire. The other person was the other way around. However, he says, the inferior person, him shall tavosa chachmosa, he let his emotions rule over his intellect. Many people know what's right and wrong, but they don't have the temerity, they don't have the strength to carry out what they believe is right and wrong, because the desires and their taiva and their lust is so much stronger than the koyach of the intellect. So Mameli says, this person, himshel tavos al chachmosoi, this person allowed that his lust is taivet to rule his wisdom. So Mameli, you know what happens? So v'hoylech kol yomah b'machshakim, this person walks all of his life in darkness, u'memashesh ke'iver b'afela, and he gropes as a blind man in the dark. That's the life that he's leaving. That's the kind of life they're leaving. Yeah, as he says here, you know, they once asked Aristotle, you know, it was Chochom Mikolodom, Aristotle. At the same time, his private life, he was a terrible mushkis. He was the lowest of the low. You know, the things, his behavior. They once asked him, he says, you're such a big chokham. He says, tremendous chokham. How's it possible that a chokham like you behaves so lowly? So he says, I'm only a chokham from my shoulders up. From my shoulders down, he says, mechanaimel. It's all from the shoulders up. So this is an equid Rabbi Saiku, right? This is the first inyan that we have here. He started out with the tachlis of everything, of course, of the Briya is man. And what's the tachlis of man? So if dover hakol nishma, as he says, is your shemaim. So let's take a look at Rabbi Yisrael Deshit and see some of the insights to these concepts that the Orchid Tzadikim brought forth. First of all, we'll see, because Rav Avos quoted the pasuk, let's see the first item from Rabbeinu Yoin and Mishle. Yiras Hashem Reishis Das. The Orchid Tzadikim called the pasuk that Yiras Hashem, that's before Das. That's the beginning of Das. The beginning of knowledge is Yiras Hashem. It all begins with Yiras Hashem. Because the pasuk later says, by the way, the end of that pasuk is Chochma Musar, the pasuk says, Evilim Bozu, which means Chochma, wisdom, and Musar, and discipline were scorned by foolish people. So Yiras Hashem, to have your Shemaim, that's the Hagdoma for Das. And he points out, Tchilas Kol Das. Therefore, Rabbi Yoyin says, what the Pasuk in Mishle, which Shlomo Melech in effect is saying, before any type of knowledge, before you're acquiring knowledge, he says, Talmud Lenafshicha Yiras Hashem. Put your koiches, put your efforts into acquiring your Shemaim. Yiras Hashem Yisborach. Ki Achochmo Musar Evilim Bozu. Because he says, Evilim, it means foolish people, they, Bechlal, don't even have a true appreciation for wisdom. He points out, She'ein lehem yiras Hashem ve'ein yekorim b'neihem. If you don't have yiras Shemayim, he says, so then you can't really appreciate true chokhmah. V'loitatzliach b'limud ha'chokhmah m'neineno yekorim b'necho. First you see, Rabbi Yisrael, a tremendous sword in being matzliach in learning. So Ben Yoin is saying, you know, just two, three words. Ben Yoin is saying, and by the way, this works in any situation. In any type of limud, if you want to master any subject, you will not have success in mastering if it's not important to you. If the subject matter is not really chaviv to you, if you don't have an affinity for it, you don't attribute a cheshivas to it, just learning it for some reason because maybe you have to pass a test of some sort, but you don't really care about it, it's not really going to be part of you, you're not going to really have a true understanding of it, maybe just a superficial understanding. You're not going to have success in any learning, and certainly learning of Torah, he says, if it's not Yekorah B'necho. If it does not have true value. To have success in learning anything, you have to attribute a value. According to how much value you attribute to the subject matter, you're going to have more success. And without your Shemaim, really, he says, you're not really going to appreciate your learning. But the sky in B'yotchon, therefore, will not have a kiyum. Benemar, the Pesuk says in Tehillim, you only quote part of it, I'll tell you the rest of it. Nachalti et voisecho leyoylam. Kuf Yutesh, the Melech says, your Torah is nachalti. It'll be my possession, enachle, leoylam, forever. It'll always be with me. You know why? What's this later? Ki sesoyin li behema. It's the joy of my life. That's the Pesuk. That's what Rebbein wants to say. If it's Yekorah b'enecho, if it's choshev to you, if it's important to you, so then then the learning will remain with you. That's the Pesuk he quotes, nachalti et voisecho. From Chazal, and we know what the Chazal say in others, that kol shir es chetoi kodemus l'chachmosoi, if the Yerushimayim is before his chachma, he has the introduction of Yerushimayim, afraid of sin, Yerushimayim, then chachmosoi miskayemus. Okay, Yerushimayim. Rabbeisai, we have to go to number three, time is moving on, and this is a well-known essay that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman has pointed out, and probably no one can say it better than Rabbi Chanan himself. And this is really, I believe, one of the really classical pieces, you know, of Rabbi Chanan's insight into Musar, and Befrat specifically the posig that the Orchid Tzadikim had mentioned, Soiv Dover Hakul Nishma, right? Kizek kol ha'odam, Yerushalayim. And he said, Kizek kol ha'odam. Look at the words of Rabbi Chanan. In Sefer Kovitz Mamorim it is. And he says as follows. By the way, it's also printed in the old editions of the Kovitz Ha'oris and Yevonis. At the end, they printed Divra Hashkofa, Divra Musaf Rabbi Chanan. And there, this vort is there also. And then there's a separate volume, another edition. They put together all kinds of Divrei Torah from Rabbi Chanan. So this is the print in the Sefer Kovitz Mamorim. That's also the end of the Kovitz Oris also. Okay. Soiv Dora HaKol Mishnah. Look what Rabbi Chanan says. HaKavona B'zeh. Rabbi Chanan says, he says the Gevaldik, even these two lines, these opening lines. Shloyal B'dat Cholemor. A person should not think for one moment. Don't make a mistake. Lemor. Ki yiras Hashem hi maile biyodam. Oh, in other words, Yerushalayim is a maile, but mekenza amen shuni Yerushalayim. Except you're lacking a maile. Now Yerushalayim about is a maile. He says no. Yerushalayim defines being a person. The Chana says without Yerushalayim you're subhuman. Ki zekol odam. Ki soiv dora hakol nishma. So lekim yira. Ki zekol odam. That's the ganze mensch. It's not a mensch with Yerushalayim, and then there's a mensch without Yerushalayim. No. Yerushalayim is not just a maila. It's not just an extra attribute. That is the essence of man. That defines a person. Look at it. Don't think that Yerushalayim is a maila biodom. Mi shem bo yiras Hashem. But a person who doesn't have Yerushalayim, who gam ken odom, el shechos oloi maila tzrich, except he's missing. But, no, some people could sing, some people can't. So, he has the maila, he's not lacking the maila. Right, true. He can be a mensch with sing without. He says, Al Zebo Akosel Hashmiyonu Shenikein. Fosse is coming to tell us that this is not the case. Kimi She'ein Bo Yerushalayim Eino Odom Klal Rak Balchai. Kiyan Yerushalayim Amench Bistanish. I am living. It's a Balchai. Just a Balchai. Just a creature. Just a creature. He says, why? Kizek Kol Odom. Mizula Zeh without Yerushalayim Eino Madreges Odom. The Eichis Odom, and now, how much mensch are you? Chalon goes further. You can be a mensch. You know, again, you can be 20 tons of person, you can be 1 ton of a person, you can be 50 pounds of a person. Little mensch bista. You know how much mensch the bista? You're as much a human being as according to how much Yerushalayim you have. So if you have two people, one is a greater Yerushalayim, one is a less Yerushalayim, there's a shtickel mensch and there's a ganzer mensch. That's okay. There's a halber mensch. Chalon says, the Eichus Odom, he says, and the quality of how much person he is, how much mensch is, Teluya Rak v'mitz Yerushalayim shebekirboi. Ima'at v'imharbe. Hainu. Im yeshbo Yerushalayim v'midim merube hu Odom God. Vim v'midim muetes, and if Yerushalayim is, in small measure, hu Odom Kotten. That's what it is. Vim ein boi klum, einoi Odom klal rak balchai b'tmunas Odom. Rabbi Chana says, he's a balchai b'tsuras Odom. So it goes further. And he's going to tell you now the Svaras Advaran. First, this is what you take out of the Psukim. Now he's going to be Mavayah, now he's going to explain it. Who can explain it? Lochonon, look what he says. V'hu Mavoyer. Al Piyakosuf. The Torah says, let's go back to see how man was created. Torah says, Nas Odom. Hashem says, plural. We shall create man. Many different perushim, right? Nas, what do you mean we? It's one creator. What's Nas Odom? So, we pirshu b'zoyah. Said the Zoyah. Listen to what the Zoyah says. And by the way, b'chaim v'loshin, ef shechaim, also brings down this nekuda, desire. You realize man was the end of creation. All the animals and all the chayes were created before. Right? Were created before. So man is at the end. Know what Hashem said? Hashem said to all the creatures, we are now ready to create man. I want all of you to give a shtickle of yourself to man. Nasodom! All of us! All of the creation. Lions, tigers, bears, wolves, everybody. All of creatures, Nasa goes on the world of creation. Let all of us together create man. How? Because every chaya, every behemoth, every animal is going to contribute part of his traits to man. The Zohar says that. Listen. Nasa Odom means Hashem said to the whole Bria, to all of creation's kula, Nasa kulonu yachad Odom. So kulonu nishtate bibriyosoi. We should all become shutvim. In creating man. Hainu, know what that means? Shkolechad yitin lodom mitivoi. Every animal, every creature should give from his nature, utchunosoi, from his essence. In other words, shahashor, the ox, yitin boi tchunashor. So guess what? A man is a shtickle ox. V'ha'ari, and the lion, yitin bo'et chunas ari. And the lion will give the essence of an ari. V'anochosh, man can be a snake too. V'anochosh chunas nochosh. Nimtze, so where does it come out? That man really is the sachakul of all of creation. Because man is a little bit of everything. So man is an oilam cotton, literally. He's an oilam cotton. V'nasig nimtze ki odom echod hu oilam cotton. Ha'koyle b'toychoy, because man, singularly, is koyle within himself, encompasses tchunas kolan evroim al yoinim v'tachtoinim. Dim kein, look what he says, Rabbi Chana says. It's very dangerous. That's what Ramchal says. The koiches of all the worst animals in the world are in man. The koiches of all the worst animals are man because they are all part of the creation of man. So the ein chaya ro noiroi kazo. There's no, he says, there's no greater chaya ro than an Adam, he says. Ein chaya. Of all the wild animals, he says, there's no one who is a wilder animal than man, he says. And besides that, besides the tchunas of all the animals, man has one thing over them. Besides, he has everything that all the animals have, he has a mouth. And that can be very destructive. The animals don't have that. So in addition of man having everything that all the chayas have, he had the tchun of an ari, he had the tchun of an ochosh, he had the tchun of all the different animals, he has one thing above them as well. In addition to that, he said, he has the intellect, man, and dibur. Now, look at the next. Uma'achas, he says, shalachaya achas toirefes. Now, imagine. If you have only one wild animal, you have to chain him. You can't let loose a wild animal. One wild animal. You don't need ten. One wild animal. You can't let him loose, right? What do you have to do? You have to chain it. Uma'achas, shalachaya achas toirefes, tzorach lekoishra. You have to tie bishol shelash shel barzel. But you have to chain him up with a chain. Kamishal shaloy esrichos la'atze batchayin roikodom. Bachon says one chain is not enough because he's a much bigger chayah than all the chayahs royas. If one chain is needed, right, in order to control one wild animal, so how many chains you need to control man? How many chains? He's all the chayahs royas put together. So he says, Ukishabara Kadosh Baruch Hu Sodom. So if Kadosh Baruch Hu created man, you can be sure he also created the chain to control man. It has to be. What is that chain? That chain is Yir Shemai. That's the only thing that chains a man, that controls man. That's the Nekudah Rabbi Chana says. Say Rabbi Chana, Kshabara Kshabara Zodam Vadai Bara Gama Shal Shalas Lekoshra. You can be sure Kshabara created the antidote. He created the Shal Shalas, the chain to bind him to time. Shal Yachrav is Oilam. He gave him the opportunity, right, to be able to control himself, not to destroy the world. Umahi HaShal Shalas HaZois. What is that chain? Zuriyus Hashem, Asher Rakhi Levado Bekoichol Atzer Sodom. Only your Shemaim can hold back a man. Shall Yir Kechayet Torefes. Should be like a wild animal. Vizulosa. Besides your Shemaim, Vaytoyel Shum Tachbule Beyolam. No strategy in the world. Lishmer Sodom Lahazik. Look what he says. Va'afim Yichochem Velizovka Aristo. He can be as smart as Aristotle. Aristotle can create. He can destroy worlds. The more chachma they have, they build destructive weapons and so on and so forth. And we see what their behavior is. We see what they do. All the chachma in the world, he says, you can be like Aristotle, like Talmud, like Chachmos, like Beistiv, Kvei Yisrael. When Yetzer Hara tells them to do something, all the chachma in the world won't help him. Chachma doesn't stand in the way of Yetzer Hara. You know what stands in the way? Yir Shemayim is the only thing. The only thing is Yir Shemayim. V'zeh shomer Avrom l'Avimelech. Now we can understand what Avraham Avinu said to Avimelech. Rak ein yiras elikim b'mokem hazeh. When Avimelech, of course, went and took, right? Sorry, made and took away from Avraham Avinu. But Avinu said, Avimelech said, "Hey, you choshed me. You think worse kind of people? What kind of people do you think are? I'm going to take somebody else's wife." Avraham Avinu answers, "You know why I was worried? Because there's no Yir Shemayim over here." Which means to say, you can have all the values in the world. All the values in the world are only rational to the mind. But when there is something that is stronger, right? That is stronger than your intellect, that is more powerful than all the intellect in the world. All the intellect in the world doesn't stand there, it doesn't create a barrier. So Avraham Avinu says, Rakein yiras elikim b'mokem hazeh, so v'hargun, you can even commit murder al devar ishti. You're apt to do that too, even though you might be a law-abiding type of the people, society. But when there's reason of lust, when there's reason for power, Bakavona, not rak. Look what he says, Rabbi Chanan. Rak and Yerushalayim, not rak. Maybe you had other milas. You had milas, but if you don't have only this mile alone, you're lacking. Other milas is gunish. That's the rak. This is the one that you need. So maybe Taki, you have a lot of miles, you have a lot of values, and you're teaching the right thing. Rak shezulas yirushimayim, he says, lohoya chaserim shumayiret. Besides your shumayim, they were not lacking. In fact, they could have been law-abiding, upstanding citizens. He says, b'chochma midas dracheres, b'chol zeh lo yoyel emein behem, yiras Hashem. So I just want to show you, we haven't got time, but if you look at number four, just the last three lines. From Moshe Sternbuch, actually, this is the takeoff of Rabbi Chanan, but he doesn't bring Rabbi Chanan here. He brings the Netziv, who says the Oichet Pesadach. But look at the last three lines here, the second paragraph, number four, turn the seat on the side. The Sefer Chochma Vadas, from Moshe Sternbuch, and Parshas Vayera. Chochma Vadas. He writes, Veinenu ro b'dor hazeh. We saw in our generation, Eichsha Germanim, he says, the Germans, Vo'izreim, and their assistants. Sheheim elu she'osru shchita. They're supposed to be those that are concerned about sensitivity. They want to ask a shchita. Why? Oh, the tsar and the pain of animals. They're very sensitive to pain, yeah? Those people are worried about the animals, and yet what did they do? They want to ask a shchita. Why? Out of concern for the animals. So here they're so concerned even for animals. Those people can be yochle tsar balachayim. They're worried about tsar balachayim. Of his achzru, but the achzorius, l'shloyach, ribe rebovis, tens of thousands, shaltenoikis. Little children, Hamishavim, he says, Lecheku Moisom, that were mamish, were in the mothers were holding the Kibshin Oesh from the hands of the mothers, from the mother's chest, into the Kibshin Oesh, into the fiery furnace, Vachola Rachmonis Etzel Mushav Vesheker, he says. There's no Yerushimayim, he says, that it doesn't mean anything. This, Rabbi said, this is the world of Musa, this is what it's all about. So we're just going to end, Rabbi Yisai. I'm going to tell you that a number of years ago, there was a bar mitzvah in Chicago, and after the guests left, so you have close members of the families, they still stay around. They sort of stick around a little bit until after the guests left, and they talk about how nice it was, and they wish well, and all the different types of brachas that one gives to the other. And the person's name was Greenbaum. His name is Rabbi Greenbaum. He's so very grateful, he says, to the fact that his son, the bar mitzvah boy, his name was Yisroel. Yisroel, thinking about the medical history of the child since he was born, was thinking back to the past. He wasn't sure years ago when the child was born that they would ever live to see this day, that the child bar mitzvah, the difficult birth, the illnesses, the hospital stays, the doctors. The boy's Rebbe also happened to be there. His name was Rabbi Gross. And he sees Rabbi Greenbaum sitting there. He goes to the Baal Simcha and says, what a wonderful Simcha is tonight. He says, I'm glad I could be here, and so on and so forth. And the father says, Baruch Hashem, he says, a wonderful, wonderful evening, it's a great simcha. But he says, but for reasons that most people here cannot fully appreciate. In other words, there's something really, why next a great simcha is not something that really, that most people don't know. And he went on to tell this Rabbi Gross, who did not, he was a child's Rebbe, but he didn't know the child, you know, from the time he was born, went on to him. And he explained this, that this bar mitzvah took place in Chicago, but 30 years ago they lived in Pittsburgh. So he lived in Pittsburgh. He said the child, Yisroel, was born prematurely. Child was born prematurely, and he weighed just a few ounces over 2 pounds. 2 pounds and a few ounces. And the doctors gave him little chance for survival. So for weeks he was in the neonatal section of the hospital, and every day his parents would come stand by his side, and they would daven, and so on, and they worried about him. He was hooked up to tubes and to monitors. And one can imagine. The monitors were bigger than he was. I mean, they were so tiny, and all these machines that he was hooked up to. And of course, he would wait every day to hear even some news, any type of news, even modest progress. Everything meant a lot, because the life of the child was mamish at stake. And he was about close to 4 months he was in the hospital. Close to 4 months until he was able to leave the hospital. And he was about 5 months until the doctors allowed him to have his bris. Child, 5 months, push it. So beside that, those were the early complications from premature birth, but they also told him that the child would always be short. Not always be short, and how short, he said, you never know. He said, but as the child began to grow, so his parents, the Greenbaums, began to realize that he was noticeably smaller than other toddlers his age. He thought he was smaller. And so it was throughout his school year. He was always, his peers, he was always the smallest, and he was always the shortest, and they would tease him, peewee, shrimp, you know, it's usually as kids are prone to do. His parents would try to give him always chizik. He said, listen, you might be short, but you know, used to say to him, he said, you realize that our greatest, he says, Torah giants, he says, was short in stature. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a short person. Yaakov Kamenetsky was a short person. Diamonds are small. They are. Every good things, as they say, come in small packages, you know. So, So Lamai said they gave him chizik and his personality to build his self-esteem and so on and so forth. But the fact is, it wasn't an easy thing for his parents to see how he walks around so short compared to anybody else. So what they always would think that maybe someday a certain drug would come out that would able to spur growth. Just waiting to hear medical news, medical advancement, and so on and so forth. So it was in 1985 that a particular growth hormone was discovered. And those who held of it was a machloikas apoiskim. Those who held of it were tiny that that drug would spur growth, and the child would no longer be small, and he would all of a sudden would have a surge of growth, and he would grow. Those that were against it, to say they were concerned about certain side effects in future years that you don't know yet, and it's too early to know, it's not, it hadn't been tested all that much, and mainly you shouldn't take it. So they were not sure exactly what they're going to do about the situation. So there was a debate back and forth, and Poshet, they didn't know what's the best for the son. Should they give him the drug, should they not give him the drug? So, as mentioned, they were now living in they had already moved to Chicago. Anyway, they decided to go to Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. They saw one of the top endocrinologists who deals these are the things that they deal with, and they got an appointment, and there happened to be a woman doctor. Say, Dr. Kilso, that's her name, Dr. Kilso. And she was not Jewish, a non-Jewish person. Of course, she saw these were Jewish people. He said he's a rabbi, and so on and so forth. And they asked her what her opinion is, and he said to her like this: "We'd like to know what your opinion is, not as a doctor, as a mother. You're a mother too. You talk a doctor, but what would you do if it be your child? So, not as a doctor, as a mother, what would you do? What would you do if this child would be your child?" So this Rabbi Greenbaum says, sure, the question was taken aback. So she closed her eyes, paused, she opened her eyes, and he was surprised to see there were some tears coming from her eyes. And she said, "Listen," he says, "it's a great difference," she said, "between," he says, "our people," he says, "and your people." She says, "What's," he says, "I live," she says, "in Scarsdale society." Scarsdale society, which is a rich and a wealthy society. It's a Scarsdale mentality. He said, "I would have no choice," she says. "But to have my son," he says, "try this drug," he says, "because," he says, "of the outward appearance, you know, where we live," he says, it's a superficial society. It's how people dress, it's how people look. It's the first impression is of paramount importance. I would have no choice," he says. "I probably would have to give the drug." And she says to him, he says, "But Rabbi," he said, "you're an internal people." He said, "You're an internal people." He said, "You're different," he says. "Wisdom," says, "character, intelligence count for everything." Son is a well-adjusted boy. He says, "He's healthy. He has a healthy attitude towards this situation. If I were you, because of what you are, I would not take that chance." Could not believe it, he says, that he got a Musa Shemus, he says, from a Shiksa, from a Glacier Worm. Couldn't like that, believe it. He's getting a Musa Shemus. And he comes home, and of course, he did not allow his child to take the drug. But the following pshat came up. You know, in Mishlei it says, "Yahalucha zor v'loy picha." Simple translation means, let a stranger praise you, right? But not your own mouth. A person shouldn't praise himself. Let a stranger praise you. You have milus, "Yahalucha zor v'loy picha." There's a hemshech of a posik that people are not aware of. And the hemshech of the posik seems to be saying the same thing. The posik says, "Nochri va'al sefasecho." Now, let praise come from another, from a stranger, meaning the same thing. Nochri, but a stranger come from another, but not from your own lips. This story tells us that the word nochri can also be understood to mean a non-Jewish person. Sometimes a non-Jewish person will set you straight. Nochri va'al sefasecho. Your own lips maybe will not say the right thing. You didn't know what to say, but it was a nochri. Sometimes the nochri who is ma'ir you. In other words, you needed someone out of the faith to tell you the godless of Klal Yisrael type of people. You're an internal people. You're a pnimius type of the people. I would not take that drug. So interesting thing that a well-known mechanach once said, he said like this, you know, in English, you know, the word facade, you know the facade? Facade is taken from the word face. Refers to an exterior view, the facade of the building, right? Refers to the exterior view. Face, facade. What in Lashon Kodesh face means? Ponim, pnim, pnimius. That's the chilik. We are pnimistic people. The secular face reflects superficiality. The Torah of faith, ideally, which is upon him, reflects the inner values. And of course, that is what the Yisoid is about, and that's what Musa is all about. And what we learned talk for Bochon and for Rosh Hashanah is Kizek Kol Odom. That's the measure of Yerushimayim that a person has, and that is what we have to work for.